Jesus plus nothing. 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley is celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll-free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's The Grace Message with Dr. Andrew Farley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Message. I'm Andrew Farley. So glad you are joining us tonight. We are live across the United States and Canada right now on Sirius XM and all kinds of AM and FM stations in Canada and the United States. And you're welcome, if you're hearing us right now, to call in and be a part of tonight's conversation, 877-655-6755. We are live and taking your calls. Maybe you've got a question tonight about a scripture passage. Maybe you heard something in church you're not sure about. Maybe it's a personal problem going on in your life, in your marriage, with your kids, in your church. You want to talk it over? That is exactly why we're here for you tonight. We are live. Go for it. Give us a call right now and be a part of the conversation. If you're a first-time caller tonight, you got to know we love it. We love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a veteran caller, maybe you've joined us in the past, perhaps it's been a while. Has it been a month or two? It's time to call back in. If you've got something fresh on your mind tonight, join us right now, 877-655-6755. And of course, if you're live streaming with us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, our mobile app, or our website, you can certainly call in right now and be a part of the conversation as well. Two open lines remain at this very moment. You can sneak in right now. I'll give you the number one last time, 877-655-6755. All right, well, we're going to start out tonight in Denver, Colorado, and we'll talk with Kevin. Hey, Kevin, what do you got for us tonight?
Well, I got for you right now, I was told by you, I called a while back, that when you die, you know, you go straight to heaven and you be with Jesus and in the holy land of heaven. I was told by another radio station, 1510, that when you die, you have to wait on Jesus to come back to the earth, and then you get a new body and you get called up into the clouds when Jesus returns. I was thinking when you die, you go straight to heaven, but these said that you die and you got to wait till Jesus comes back.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So that's why you really don't want to listen to them. And the reason you don't want to listen to them is because they're teaching essentially what is a soul sleep. I don't know who they are. I don't know what station you're talking about, what teachers. But, you know, the bottom line is there is no soul sleep. You're not sleeping for thousands of years. Paul very clearly told us that if you're absent from the body, you are present with the Lord. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 tells us that Paul was excited about death. Now, I would ask you, why would Paul be excited to fall asleep for thousands of years? Why would Paul be excited to be in a dark holding tank waiting to go to heaven someday with no experience except some sort of blackness, some sort of darkness, some sort of tank where he sat there? Or maybe it's like the dentist waiting room. You've got at least a magazine to look at. I mean, is that what Paul was excited about when he said, I'm hard pressed on both sides. I'm not sure what I want to do. I'm excited about my ministry here, but I'm also excited about seeing the Lord face to face. Well, that sentence, that statement wouldn't even make any sense if what you're being told by that other teacher is true, then Paul would have no reason to be excited about death and about seeing the Lord face to face, because quite candidly, he wouldn't. He wouldn't be seeing the Lord. He would be sitting there for thousands of years in a soul sleep. So that is a false teaching. It is not the truth. I mean, the bottom line is that it is certainly like falling asleep, but we awaken instantly to be with the Lord. I mean, the New Testament uses sleep as an analogy, but only because it's not the end. We wake up. We wake up a second later, and we're with the Lord. And so it's really important to know this. It's not just some trivial pursuit question, because you've got loved ones who have passed away, believers who are now no longer with us. And what do we do? Do we comfort each other with the words that someday they'll be with Jesus. Someday they'll be in heaven after a lengthy soul sleep. What kind of hope is that? That's not much encouragement. And remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He didn't say, "You and I are going to hang out for 3 days in a tomb." He didn't say, "You're going to have to wait a few thousand years." He said, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." That thief died that very day. That thief was Jesus, was with Jesus in paradise that very day. And there you have it. So, absent from the body, present with the Lord. It is so simple and straightforward. You just need to be careful what you put in your ears, because when you've got a half-truth and a half-error, it can get very confusing. So, be discerning, my friend. I really appreciate you bringing the question tonight. Reach out to us again anytime. All right, well, let's go now to Dallas, Texas, and we'll talk with Tracy. Hey, Tracy, what's on your heart tonight?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm very nervous. My brother committed suicide this year, and we're both struggling, especially my mother. And I just wondered, do you think that people that commit suicide, you know, they're obviously mentally ill, mm-hmm. do you think they get a second chance when Jesus comes back?
I see. All right. Well, they don't need a second chance if they had a first chance. And what I mean by that is it's a positive answer I'm giving you. They didn't lose anything. You don't lose anything by dying by suicide. Can you imagine a child of God? Jesus says, "You're holy and you're blameless, and I remember your sins no more." But now, wait a minute, if you get depressed enough to where you take your own life, then I'm sorry, I'm yanking your salvation. I'm sorry, that's it. And so for many centuries, some people have tried to push suicide as an unforgivable sin. And I'll tell you really the logic from whence it comes. It really comes from that era when the Catholic Church was beginning and pushing the idea of a last confession, which they still hold to today, the idea that you need to be awake and alert and ready to give your last confession before you die. And if you don't do that because of suicide, for example, then you didn't have your last confession, and therefore you have some unforgiven sins left, including that suicide itself. And so you go into eternity with a bunch of unconfessed, unforgiven, dangling sins, you might say, at least in their view. But that view is not biblical at all. Nowhere are we told that we have to day by day and hour by hour and sin by sin keep a short account with God. No, when we enter into Jesus Christ and we are saved, born of the Spirit, then we are totally forgiven, past, present, and future. So I don't know the situation with your brother, only the Lord does. But the bottom line is, if he ever knew the Lord, then he's with the Lord. He doesn't need a second chance because the first chance worked. And so what I mean by that is, even if at the last moment he called out to the Lord to be saved, or at any point in his life, the Lord heard that, the Lord saved him, and he's forever saved. Nobody is saved temporarily. Jesus offers eternal life, not temporary life. Jesus offers total forgiveness, not partial forgiveness. There's no such thing as being 82% forgiven or 64% forgiven. And this, again, this sad idea, it's really pathetic, the view of God that people are painting, that, oh, yeah, you're forgiven of all your sins unless you get depressed and take your own life. Then God yanks that salvation of yours. The reality is, Hebrews 10:14, by one sacrifice, he's made us perfect for all time. So if your brother is in Christ, then he is perfect for all time. This issue hits home for me as well. My half-brother committed suicide. My other sibling died of a drug overdose, and another died of AIDS. And they all had very rough lives and struggled greatly. And so these half-siblings of mine, all three of them, their lives ended tragically. And so I was asking God all these same questions. And it's really important to understand the truth, because remember the promise that truth is going to always set you free and error is going to put you in bondage. So let go. If you ever held on to that idea, let go. Let go of that false idea that somehow suicide is an unforgivable sin, or that somebody's going to lose their salvation and need to gain it back in the afterlife or something. No way. Once you're in Christ, you're always in Christ. Once you're forgiven, the only kind of forgiveness God gives is total forgiveness. The only kind of love God gives is unconditional love. The only kind of life that God gives is eternal life, not temporary life. So I will put you back on there, my friend, and see. Does that help some, Tracy?
Yes, thank you so much.
You are welcome. And you know what? That false teaching about it being unforgivable, again, look at the root of it. The root of it is that the finished work of Christ is not finished. And that you need to finish it on your deathbed, and that if you didn't take care of housekeeping at the last minute, that somehow you lose out. Well, that is an insult to Jesus and to his blood. Remember that we are not forgiven day by day or week by week or month by month, and we are certainly not forgiven, as many seem to purport today. We are not forgiven sin by sin and little by little and hour by hour. We are forgiven once for all. So when the Catholic is going to the confession booth trying to get more and more forgiveness, and when the Protestant is going direct to God trying to get more and more forgiveness, we are missing the boat. The boat is, it is finished. Past, present, and future, your sins are gone. So there's plenty of reasons to behave. There's plenty of reasons to turn from sin. But getting more forgiveness is not one of those reasons. So I hope that helps, Tracy. We certainly appreciate you trusting us with your question, and reach out again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, well, let's go now. How about to Canada, and we'll talk with Kara, then we'll go to Josh. Hey, Kara, what do you got?
Hey, Dr. Farley, hope you're doing great.
Yeah.
Awesome. First I just want to say it's been now about a month since I've been listening to the Grace message, and Wow, I just, a lot's been unraveling in my mind, and it's been a little emotional too. I feel like I've been on a little roller coaster of just emotions, but I know that I'm hearing the true gospel, and I don't know, just felt to say that to encourage any other listener who might be experiencing what I've been the last month. But my question is, in regards to children, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and they're not yet saved. But I know on their way to being saved. And, you know, I was just thinking about the law. I've been learning a lot about the law and grace through your teachings, and very grateful for that, because it's even changing how I speak to my children and how I discipline them, and just understanding the law and grace. But any insight or approach on how to, talk to my children about the law? I know it has its place, right? Because it's for unbelievers, and it's meant to show us our sin. So any insight would be great.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's a great question, Kara. It's very practical. I mean, here you are in Canada. I'm in the United States. 90-some percent of our listeners are not Jewish by bloodline. And so we were never given the law, but we are told that the law is our tutor. I mean, Paul wrote this to Galatians. He said the law is our tutor to lead us to Christ. So what purpose does the law serve? Then in Romans chapter 2, Paul says that the Gentiles who have no law have the righteous requirements of the law written on their conscience and written on our hearts. As unbelievers, our hearts and our consciences are seared with the righteous requirements of the law, and those requirements will accuse us, or they defend us, saying we're doing good or we're doing evil. So basically, if we were to sum all of that up, it's not important for you to teach your kids 613 Jewish laws in order to lead them to Jesus. No, instead, you can recognize that on the human heart and on the human conscience, there is imprinted an innate understanding of right and wrong. That is why you could survey, you know, most cultures, and they're going to agree on certain things, that, you know, things like murder and taking things that don't belong to you, that those are wrong. Because there are righteous requirements that are imprinted on the conscience and the heart of the unbeliever. So all that to say, you don't have to get your kids a PhD in Judaism in order to get them saved. They really just have to have an awareness of their sinfulness and their need for Jesus. And that can happen any number of ways. If they already have this conscience, if they already have this innate understanding of what is right and wrong, then they're halfway there. And if there's any question about that, of course, you know, the conscience steps in. You've heard people say, my conscience is killing me. Well, that's what the law does. The law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So only as far as you need to help them have an awareness of their sinfulness and their need for Jesus. That's all the law can do. That's all the conscience can do. The conscience cannot save you. The law cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. So let's major in Jesus and only use the law to show people that they fall short of the glory of God and that they're in need for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But let's look at, imagine Paul journeying into Galatia. Do you think he pulled out the Torah and said, guys, hang on. You know, I've been watching this TV program, has Kirk Cameron in it, and let me tell you, guys, we got to go through the Torah first, so let's sit down on a park bench, and I'm going to go through the entirety of the law, and then I'm going to call you a liar and a cheat and a thief and a, you know, an adulterer, and by the end of this conversation, you're going to know that you're 10 kinds of a sinner, and then I can finally talk about Jesus. Well, you know, I say all that in jest to make the point that Paul didn't roll into Galatia. He didn't roll into Philippi or Colossae and first crack open the Torah to try to convince everybody over hours and days that they were sinners. He knew that the Gentile conscience was already taking them to that conclusion. Now, there are some exceptions. For example, the Gnostics. The Gnostics were an early set of philosophers who were denying sin, and John really rakes them over the coals, man. I mean, he's telling them, if you say you have no sin, you're making God out to be a liar. The truth is not in you. You need to admit your sinfulness. So there are exceptions where the law can come in and say, hey, hang on, before you declare yourself innocent, let me show you dozens and dozens of ways that you're not so innocent. But at the end of the day, you know, most people are willing to admit they have some sort of morality and sin issue. And when they can actually see that the root of that is the absence of life, that the root of that is the absence of Jesus in their life, well, now we're really getting somewhere. So don't go planning a year-long curriculum in Moses or anything like that. Go ahead and major in Jesus and trust that the Spirit of God, remember, the Son of Man is lifted up. He's drawing all people unto himself. He wants none to perish. He wants all to believe. He wants everyone to come to repentance. So you got the conscience and you got the Holy Spirit, and then you got you, Mom. And somewhere in there, you're just going to sense from the Lord what it is you need to share with your children and how to do so. So I'll put you back on and see. Does that give you a way forward there, my friend? Well, are you there? Well, her signal may be a little bit out, but I think she did hear every word of it. All right, well, let's go now to, how about we'll go to, let's see here. It looks like we'll go to Canada and we'll talk with Ayo. Hey, Ayo.
Brother Andrew, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Ayo. What do you got for us?
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm going to be 60 next year. Uh-huh. And you know what? I just can't thank you enough. Honestly, I can't. I've listened to so many teachers, so many different denominations, so many different messages from... You know what? One thing I learned from you, there's a saying in the Bible, where the freedom of this, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Yeah.
That's what your ministry is all about. Thank Amen. You for your...
Oh, well, well, thank you, my friend. I really appreciate the encouragement there. It's always great to hear from you. And we are definitely leading people to freedom from sin and freedom from guilt and freedom from condemnation through knowing Jesus. So thanks for your encouragement. Hey, reach out to us again anytime, Ayo, if you have a question. I know I had mentioned Josh in Fort Worth earlier, so we're going to pop out to him now. And Josh, what have you got for us tonight?
Hey, Andrew, how's it going? My second time calling in.
Awesome.
But so I have a buddy, and this guy, he's actually the one who introduced me to you back in 2018 when we were living in Lubbock. And you've actually met him before. I brought him to church with me one time, and we met and talked for a second. But uh-huh. We had kind of hadn't talked for maybe like 6 to 8 months. It'd been a while. He lives back here in Fort Worth now, but he called me the other day and started telling me how he is getting into Freemasonry, or he's not getting into it. He's like in it now, and he's like worked his way up to like the 32nd degree Scottish Rite Freemason. And, you know, like back in the day, I had, you know, talked to him about it and like told him that I didn't think that it was a good thing to be involved in, and that, you know, it wasn't really a Christian deal like we thought. And I don't know, I just kind of wanted to get your take on it, like maybe what you think, and then maybe what can I point him to show him that, you know, something seems off about it and I don't think it's a good thing for him to be involved in. Or maybe I'm crazy, I don't know, I want to know what you think.
Yeah, no, you're not crazy. You certainly have a legitimate concern. I mean, you look at Freemasons, and basically it is a cultish type organization that is going to put focus on a plethora of ways to arrive at relationship with God. It's not going to highlight Jesus as the one and only way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Freemasons do not believe that. You look at some of the false teachings there. I mean, you know, you look at a false sense of identity that the Freemasons can basically instill in other people. I don't really need my identity in Christ if I've got an identity as a Freemason. So we're really called to worship God and God alone through Jesus Christ. And so as, you know, an advisor on this issue, I guess I would say steer clear. And you definitely have a right and are of right mind in being concerned about your friend. Do what you can to grab a hold of him and get him out of there, too, because it's really, you know, it has its origins back in the medieval times. It's stonemasons' guilds. It's like a secretive society that has its own oaths of secrecy, and it has all kinds of rituals to it. It's definitely not compatible with Christianity in many regards. I know they might sell themselves as being so, but really they're denying that Jesus is the one and only way. And that's a centerpiece of the Christian faith. So appreciate your question tonight, and to reach out to us there in Fort Worth, Josh, anytime. Great to hear from you. Well, we are out of time for this evening. My apologies to Linda. I hope you'll call back very soon. And to all those who were waiting online as well. My name is Andrew Farley. You can find out more about the Grace Message right there at our website at andrewfarley.org. And by the way, remember, when you support the Grace Message this month, we're giving away to each and every donor a copy of our new resource called Killer Sermon. and it's all about the shocking message of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Cut off your hand, pluck out your eye. What did he mean by all of that?
For more information on the broadcast ministry of Dr. Andrew Farley, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us next time as we invite you to celebrate the grace message with Dr. Andrew Farley. This program is sponsored by your generous financial support.